Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
All right, then, people. It's the Football Ramble. It's Tom Heaton and Felipe Anderson's birthday. Rejoice. We're going to be talking all things Liverpool, some things Chelsea, and all things Newcastle as well. How are you doing, this Football Ramble? We are back. Hope you had a lovely weekend. I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm joined by Jim Campbell and Luke Ramble.
All right.
Yeah, you're
right.
Hello.
Yeah.
We just had a spillage in the studio. There's water all over the desk.
Mm-hmm. You just gave me a Ramones-esque surname.
We should call ourselves Pete Ramble, Jim Ramble. And I think you are actually Jim Ramble on Twitter, aren't you?
No.
Well, I thought you were Jim TFR.
It's Jim Campbell TFR. Yeah.
Short-sighted, mate.
Yeah, well, right. You know.
You're going to blow this popsicle stand one day, and you need options.
Well, I can probably change it, can't I? Once I get a better
friendly
offer.
Lad. I'm trying to think, what do you say about R?
Friendly rapscallion.
Yes! Beautiful.
Can you tell me how old Felipe Anderson and Tom Heaton are, respectively?
I'm going to guess at 26 and 34.
Ooh.
Pete?
28 and 36.
26 and 30. Three.
Oh,
good, Jim. Very close.
Jim,
well
very
done,
close.
Mate.
Well, you should have bought him a cake, shouldn't you?
Both yes. In action at the weekend, of course, as
yes,
well.
Yes, indeed.
Joe Hart remonstrating from the bench quite a lot.
What he does now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gripes. Nice his position.
Nice work if you can get it.
So we're going to be starting with the match that delighted, I think it's fair to say, proper topsy-turvy stuff. Topsy in that Chelsea didn't actually go any goals. Liverpool versus Chelsea. That happened yesterday. 2-0 to Liverpool. Liverpool really had to win this one. And Manuel Salah. Salah's goal. My God, gentlemen, I'll give you the floor.
It was an exocet. Absolute exocet. Intercontinental ballistic missile. They're probably two separate types of missile. I don't care.
Mixed together.
It was one of those beautiful goals that we all, obviously, we all know that. And it came, obviously, hot on the heels of the first one, which made it even more impactful. But, and this is a huge but, the reason this will live long in the memory for me is that it was scored from a part of the pitch which made the camera angle delicious.
Yes,
it was, yeah.
It did that delicious thing, as you say, where it moves. And it's rare that a player can even strike a ball like that, let alone score with it. It's just, oh.
And it was great that the things that are needed to make a long-range exocet execute properly is the camera angle, because if someone scores one of those from a bit further out, but it's right in the middle of the pitch, you don't really get it until you see the replay, the velocity and stuff. That was perfect. But also, the ball didn't spin in the air,
right,
which makes it almost, in a way, extra dramatic.
It was like, I've picked my spot and I'm going to get this ball as quick as I can to that spot in the straightest way possible.
And I'm going to hit it like a rock. Like an absolute rock. Not like when you're trying to skim a stone on a pond, when you're trying to throw a rock as far as you can.
It's 2 minutes.
Great.
2 minutes after we've scored.
Yeah.
Just going to have a little ding.
Yeah.
I just going to see what happens. Why not? We're ahead.
I thought it was very friendly towards the people who have to recut landscape video into portrait for Snapchat and Instagram and stuff like that.
I think that's probably the people we all thought of first.
I thought that. I thought it's really, really nice and straight. That camera angle works. They won't have to do that weird kind of blurring technology. Yeah. I don't like
it. Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, basically, when you convert a landscape video to portrait, and basically, you know how difficult it is for a camera to follow a football if it's moving really quickly.
Yeah.
They have to do this weird blur tracking kind of movement to make it still fit into the portrait mode of a mobile phone. So it actually looks a bit weird. It looks rather unnatural.
Is this related to the thing that makes some TV shows look like soap operas, even though they're shot really well?
I believe that's either true motion or a higher frame rate.
I think that's frame rate, though.
That's frame rate, okay. Yeah.
Frame
it's
rate.
Like The Hobbit. I think, was The Hobbit filmed at 50?
Something like that, yeah.
Peter Jackson wanted to do the
48
first.
48 or something.
48 or 50, yeah. Depending on where you are. And it just makes it look a bit naff. You can really see the set design.
Yes.
So there you go.
Yeah, and I think that's probably... That's probably what's going to live long in the memory about it.
I think so,
say.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, people are going
to
say...
Friendly to the landscape to portrait, guys.
That killer blow that saw off Maurizio Sarri's Chelsea and could have arguably handed the first Premier League title in two generations to Liverpool, a country. Not, they think they're a country. They're not. a city that's been desperate for such an accolade for such a long time. There are people who have lived and died without seeing it. What's going to live long in the memory is the technology that made enabled it to be represented properly on Instagram stories.
Shay Given wasn't that impressed.
Tucking right in.
Wonderful.
A lovely lamb lunch in the centre of Windsor.
Check it out. He was basically, they do this more often than not nowadays. If an amazing goal scored, they will always be filming kind of Gogglebox style, the presenters, while they're in the actual set, when they're actually in the set of the TV show watching watching the action. And so they'll cut back to Alan Shearer going, oh, brilliant, great stuff. And Ian Wright just going crazy. But it was Shea Given, Ian Wright, and someone else. And
Stephen Manaman.
Is it Stephen Manaman? Brilliant. And they were both going crazy because Ian Wright loves a great goal. And Stephen Manaman.
Ian Wright just loves
fan.
Life. Yeah. Ian Wright turns a corner in a street and sees a cat and goes, I just can't believe it. He's a great guy.
And that's why he's a national treasure. God damn it. Shea Given in the middle of eating his dinner, though.
Talk to me about the logistics of that, though, because to me, as someone who is on nodding terms with that kind of stuff, that to me says Shea Given's turned up late there. Because
what do you mean?
Normally,
he hasn't had time to have his ding-ding.
If that's filmed at IMG, production house out in North West London, Uxbridge, you turn up at your call time, the runner comes, gives you a menu, and says, what do you want for lunch?
Ooh la la.
Yeah, you get your lunch and you eat it, and then you have your production meeting and you go in. I think what's happened there, Shea Given's come late from another job, or he's just turned up late, and they're letting him eat a proper hot meal in the studio setting.
Yeah.
We've just spilt water in here. Imagine if that was gravy, Jim.
Around.
Imagine if that was gravy in the spillage earlier.
A dent.
No, exactly.
That's other people in football's rider, and we well know that.
Yeah, but Shay was... I mean, he did look up, to be fair.
He looked up, and he looked actually annoyed that they'd scored a goal of such quality while he was enjoying his scran.
The growth must have been incredible for for it not to compare.
They are,
he looked genuinely disgruntled. I mean, I would say that he probably was late to the studio because he doesn't seem like the most organised chap. His Twitter profile has a pre-order link for a book that came out 3 years ago.
Wow. Maybe they've got Steve Harper on standby just in case he doesn't turn up.
The only thing I like about Given there is that he's sticking to his principles. And we're assuming he's running late, and if we've besmirched his good name and he wasn't late and it was some sort of other admin error, fair enough. Yeah. But for me, Rude, if I come up late and someone says, look, do you want a bit of food? And I go, do you know what? I know I'm late. I'm sorry. I'm a bit hungry. If you could just knock us up a quick sandwich, I'd really appreciate it. I don't know. Or a bag of crisps or something. Shay Given is so sure of himself. He said, I am late. I do want to be sat here watching the game with the rest of you. I would like a full roast dinner, please.
He is concentrating.
Go to the nearest pub if you have to.
The most admin heavy of all the meals.
Absolutely. But he's concentrating on one thing and one thing only, like all goalkeepers should be. They should be kind of devoted to one thing.
They do say that about goalkeepers. You can spend 65 minutes doing absolutely nothing and then out of the blue, a full roast dinner comes in front of you and you're expected
and you
to deal with it.
Yeah. There was a lovely moment when Robertson slipped over and Jürgen did a proper giggle to the crowd and gave them a pump up kind of, come on, guys. Guys, give him the support.
At that point, I realised I am a complete media whore because my heart skipped a beat there. What? Even though Liverpool were already, weren't they 2-0 up at the time?
I think we were 1-0 maybe.
Well, in which case it happened within 2 minutes.
Oh, well, maybe not then.
Yeah. And I just thought, oh my God, what's going to happen? Obviously nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, actually, it's there was a lot of talk before the game about the Gerrard slip, which I'm sure Liverpool themselves ignored as much as possible.
Yeah.
But this is exactly the sort of nonsense that you have to banish, isn't it, when you're on such a run like this? They'll be delighted to have done that and to have kept a clean sheet as well and to have done such a professional job. Because again, Chelsea didn't really... They didn't look like they were ever likely to win it. I know Hazard had
a couple of chances, didn't they? Hazard hit the post and kind of missed from quite close range, but yeah.
And Chelsea's record at Anfield, as we learnt on Thursday, I think, Jim, you brought it to the table,
it's very good,
undefeating their last eight or something. So it was a really good win for Liverpool. The team selection from Sarri, I know this is something that we've talked about all season, but very, very quickly, a particular part of the team selection for me was a bit odd, because I think that clearly he played Hazard because he wanted to drift in between defenders and midfielders and try and cause a bit of havoc, and he's been in good form. I get that. I know this is probably an unpopular viewpoint. I think you've got to play Giroud in that game. I think you've got to play him as a focal point. It gives you an out ball. Liverpool are going to probably dominate at home. They've been very good. They're expected by some to win the league. If they don't win the league, they come very close. They're a dominant team in this. Yeah. I'd have Giroud there because he offers you such an outlet.
You want Giroud tying up Van Dijk.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of takes away the best defender, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But Sarri won't adhere to that, will he? He won't deviate from what he wants to do. You're right, though. Occupying Van Dijk would be great. There was an amazing stat going into that game that someone might have actually put it to Sarri or maybe Klopp, that no one has taken on and beaten Van Dijk in a one-on-one dribble in like over a year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so maybe they expected Hazard to be the first person to do that. But as you said, you guys said, putting Giroud up there, just giving him up, getting him right amongst it. I just think he can still do that at the top level. And I'd like to have seen him given the chance.
And exactly, it's not really about running at him with Giroud on the pitch, is it? It's about just giving him a lot to deal with whenever you get him in, because Giroud's hold-up play is so good. That is an amazing stat. I feel like you rarely see Van Dijk sprint because he just reads the game so well. It's like he never needs to.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
He's an impressive human being.
He's like a young Rio Ferdinand. Jordan Henderson. I kind of got to pull him out. I thought he was really, really good before he got sold. He's had a really, really strong week.
He has. And actually, I think he's a good example of Klopp using his squad really intelligently, sort of bringing players in and out a little bit more. He's playing him a bit further forward now, isn't he? Which isn't something you might have expected to have reaped the rewards that it has, but obviously he knows his players really, really well. He's been impressive, and he's a real leader on the pitch as well, isn't he? And he's stepping up now when they have to go and win these games, when there's pressure on them all the time, and just sort of diffusing that. And again, he's another really impressive one. I'm surprised, I'd almost forgotten about Xherdan Shaqiri. I don't really know what's happening.
He played
there.
A big part in celebrating that goal with Klopp. He jumped right into his arms. It was a magnificent scene.
Yeah, like he did into his jacket that time.
That was amazing, wasn't it? That video of him just disappearing into Klopp was amazing. The cross for Henderson, which that was a thing of beauty. Mm-hmm. That cross to Mane for the first goal, where a less concentrating player in that moment might have been forgiven for just whipping that across the face of the goal. But he delivered that lovely the commentators went on some mad Masters analogy vibe, didn't they? It's the Masters this weekend, and a sand wedge to the back post. But to be fair, it was good.
It was excellent. And the header was equal to it, I think. Some of those you can see sort of flash wide,
you've got to bury that,
missed time there.
Are you burying that with that forehead you've got there?
How very rude.
You and I, well, actually, all three of us have got quite big foreheads.
Yeah, mine's the biggest.
Mine's second biggest, then Jin's. But yours is at above average. You're just getting away with it because you sat in the room with us.
I've got glasses on, which like hides a bit of it, I suppose.
You're not full out McPartland, but you're definitely not Steven Gerrard.
I think Luke might be obsessed with the size of people's heads. Remember we had a meeting a little while ago and all you could talk about was the size of a man's head. It's weird.
Oh yeah, but it was particularly small. It was one of the smallest heads I've ever seen. But I
don't really log those things, which is just...
No.
All three of us, I'm interested in the human condition, what can I say? All three of us would have buried that. Mane's got a very big forehead as well, so that's part of the reason why he was able to power that head at home.
Money head.
Yeah.
Mane head. Leicester versus Newcastle also took place on the Friday. You said this wasn't going to be a very good match. It was quite a good match, simply because Leicester were a bit poor at the back, very disjointed. They were dropping passes left, right and centre. The Magpies, you'd imagine, are probably safe now, thanks to Perez.
Yeah, who you hate.
I don't hate, I just think he's we shouldn't have to rely on a player who costs 1.5 million.
Yeah, every time he's mentioned, you say, and then we went to watch Chelsea v Newcastle at Stamford Bridge.
I was screaming, net spend.
And every time Perez got the ball, you went, and apparently it was 3 million euros. Talk to me about exchange rates. There's no way the euro is 2-1.
Well, I don't know. You know what transfer fees are all about. It's probably 3 million eventually, isn't it?
Okay. Anyway.
And he's played enough games.
But every time I mention him, Jim, even if he did something good, Peter would be like, oh, he's a £2 million player.
But he's been a soldier for Benitez, has he not?
He really has. Well, he's kind of come back into form since Benitez got there. Maybe it's the Spanish connection or whatever. But there's rumours he might be going back to Spain at the end of his run. But he has overtaken Michael Owen and Craig Bellamy in Premier League strikes.
For Newcastle.
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Sorry, yeah. Made that very clear. Yeah. He might have scored something for there.
Are you becoming a Perez revisionist now? Are you starting to think he's a bit of an asset?
He's played very well this season. He's been.
He's only 25, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. So he could get better. I don't know.
He's 25 and he's made apparently 175 appearances for Newcastle in the Premier League. Mm. And he's made 109. No, sorry, that's because that includes a season in the Championship, right?
So yeah.
He made 190 appearances for Newcastle United overall. Mm. I mean, this day and age, that's a good bit of service, isn't it?
Especially for a player that's still 25 years old. Yeah. You know? He's surely one that you'd want to hang on to.
Well, we just need bodies, don't we? I guess Newcastle United just doesn't seem to want to sign anyone who's over a certain age at any kind of fee. He just wants to get everyone on loan all the time.
Sorry, Jim, go on.
I was just going to say, he's talking about selling the club, isn't he? Surely.
Yeah, it's about that time again, isn't it?
Surely, yeah.
It's when I'm thinking about booking me summer holidays. Like, oh, Mike Ashley wants to sell the club again. Better go on holiday.
Yeah, but Mike Ashley and Rafa Benitez could both be replaced by very rudimentary AI robots. Because
something you could program, I reckon.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Even I could program it, yeah, using my BBC Micro. because not only has Mike Ashley started talking about this selling the club kind of thing again, but Rafa Benitez has said he's now considering staying long term. It's like, make your mind up, Rafa.
It's 10, check time, 20, print. Open call on
30, go to 10.
30, go to, and then 30 is go to 10. Yeah.
What's the programming language for that?
I guess we'd BBC Basics.
Basic, isn't it? It's basic. Yeah. Visual, but not Visual Basic, before Visual Basic. A rudimentary version of Visual Basic is what. Is running Newcastle United at the moment.
Visual Basic was an add-on to Basic, so...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Fair enough.
Yes, he is open to offers for the club. It happens around about this time every year. One thing we didn't... It's great that Newcastle are staying up, certainly for me, but Leicester looked... Did you see any of this match? Leicester looked very, very ordinary. I just couldn't understand. Jamie Vardy obviously missed a bit of a sitter at the end, and that was a bit of a let-off for Newcastle, but they just looked very, very ordinary.
And Vardy's been good under Rodgers. Mm. Rodgers has clearly tapped into him and given him some confidence. He's played well. But to me, it looked like Leicester had checked out. They're seventh. Is it possible for a bunch of professional athletes to get up for finishing seventh? Do they realistically have meetings where they go, look, if we really push, we can finish seventh here? Mm. Or have they got to the stage now where for them there's four Premier League games left and they're like, do you know what? We're realistically not going to finish lower than 11th. So seventh to 10th. It's probably where we are, and even subconsciously, they've switched off. And Newcastle clearly were not fighting for their lives, but knew they had to get a win. I thought it was a very, very disappointing performance by Leicester, particularly at home, given what's come before with Rodgers, because they had won four Premier League games leading up to that. So yeah, it was disappointing.
Yeah, I don't think we ever spoke about this. I saw this video on YouTube this week. Did you see James Maddison pranking Damari Gray last season with a bit of? I call it Nicky Knocky Nine Doors, but I assume...
But it was a different version of that, wasn't it?
It was like basically, he's outside the hotel room, he props a bucket full of water on the corner, on the side of the door, so that when the person opens the door, they're getting wet feet.
Yeah.
So he knocks on the door, Damari runs out, by which time... James Maddison has long departed the scene. He gets wet feet, he jumps over... The bucket truck to attack whoever has wet his feet, and then the hotel door locks behind him. Yeah. A beautiful little sketch.
It's really, really well pranked.
It's well executed.
It's gone exactly, or possibly even better than what they thought, because the door actually closes as well.
It's gone as well as you'd expect for a creative midfield player like James Maddison. if a centre back was doing that,
yeah.
Imagine when a centre back finds himself in the opposition half and he's got a chance.
Yeah.
It's hit or miss.
Yeah. It's Godra Mustafi's putting his foot in that bucket.
Yeah.
And drenching he's falling himself down the stairwell.
Yeah. Drenching himself. Setting the fire alarm off on the way down.
Yeah.
And then getting arrested before saying very vehemently that he wants to move to Inter.
Danny Stillwater.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to take a short ad break. We've got some emails and talk a little bit about Fulham Everton, because that's what we're doing.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble. Since the Football Ramble toured, so come see the Football Ramble live.
And we're back. Yeah. Thank you very much to the ad people for putting some ads in there. We're back with the Football Ramble. I'm Pete. I'm joined by Jim and Luke. Can we have some emails, please?
Say I'm the only bee in your bunny.
Not the bees! Ah!
You've got mail.
Bad bees!
Hello.
Hello, Jim.
Lots of mentions of bees this week, actually. We had a few people email in about that horrific thing where the lady had... She basically had four bees
in her eye.
In her eye.
We talked about it on the Luke and Pete show.
Was it not three bees?
Or was
four.
It wasps? Either way.
It was four bees.
Get lost.
Jimmy, you've got the bonnet on now, haven't you?
I do.
Yeah, very much so. He's borrowed Pete's bonnet.
I have.
Sits very nicely on that forehead.
Cheers, mate.
Yeah.
Stop having a go at people's heads.
I'm not having a go at it. I'm just saying we've got them. We've all got them.
We've all got foreheads.
Afternoon, chaps.
Hello, mate.
Lovely to hear the name of Tommy Amiobi on this week's preview show. Oh. My club, Scunthorpe, signed him on loan during the 07-08 season when we were in the Championship. We were relegated that season and Tommy made a big contribution to that with an all-important 0 goals in 10 appearances. He managed to combine the mobility of a late-career Schola with a game-reading of a young Sammy. In short, he was comfortably one of the very worst forwards I've ever seen in the Scunthorpe shirt, and that is a competitive field. At the end of the season, our local rivals Doncaster took our place in the Championship after winning the playoffs. To the amusement of all Scunthorpe fans, Donny signed Tommy before realising their mistake and loaning him out to another club, Grimsby. During his tour of the region, Amiobi managed a grand total of no goals, but he will never be forgotten by anyone who saw him play. Cheers, George.
To be fair, Scunthorpe, was he not young then, though?
Well, I mean, the eyewitness account, it suggests that that doesn't really matter.
Do you think you've got an Amiobi on your books? You expect more, I think it's fair to say.
I mean, to be fair, he's probably around the same age as sort of Marcus Rashford at the time. So,
yeah. Hi, guys. Just like to add some further weight to Marcus's suggestion that a team becoming eggs has a detrimental effect. My team, Barnsley, went full egg, minus a couple of players, ahead of the 99-2000 First Division playoff final. Despite taking a 26-second lead, we went on to lose 4-2, including one of the newly egged, Darren Barnard, missing the only penalty of his Barnsley career when the score was 1-1. Nothing good has ever come from a team going full egg. Cheers. From Mark.
Would you reckon we should put the call out, show at thefootballramble.com, for anyone who's witnessed an improvement in their players or team through egging?
Yes.
Full egging.
I believe you've just done it.
So yeah, I would.
And show at thefootballramble.com.
I've noticed on our 12 eggs of Easter, which we're currently right in the thick of.
Thick egg.
Yeah, a few... I don't know if this is our problem or theirs, but a few listeners have been on Twitter saying it took them to about episode 4 or 5 to realise what we actually meant by eggs.
Yeah, and we can only lead a horse to water.
Exactly, like. And they, I think up until that point they thought that it just meant they were good eggs and they were good people.
Oh, right, okay,
which is problematic when it comes to Arrigo Sacchi. let's just say.
Yes.
So for the avoidance of doubt, eggs is a bald person.
Mm. Yeah. Good God, it's like Alan Partridge. Yeah. The Queen is not dead.
Yeah, unless she went in the night and is yet to be found.
And also, this is no judgment on any bald person.
No, of course not. It's an endorsement of the egg. Mm.
We're getting there with our big... Why have I got... Hiroi is big in Japanese, and that's why I always remember the word Hiroi, because I Hiroi forehead. I've got a big forehead.
So that's your evidence,
so I've got a complex.
You've broken him now.
Yeah. Japanese complex.
Between us, we've got one egg.
Yeah.
You've got a third
definitely.
Egg.
Definitely. Yeah.
I'd love to see a mixture of all of our hairs. It would be like a multi-grass solution.
You've just imagined Marcus Speller, who has 3 haircuts in one. As my friend at university used to say, greedy scenes.
We've got another email here, which is a bit of beef in my direction.
Beef and eggs.
Yep. Hello, chaps.
Thank you, Don.
I feel I have to write in and correct a mistake of Jim's from the Dion Dublin eggisode, where he states that in 96-97, Ravenelli scored 30 goals, when in fact he only scored 16. He said it a few times in the past, and it's always bugged me. Check your facts, son. That's from Connor Salmon, he says, which is a footballer, but his email address says he's Connor Phillips. And it also says sent from my Jube. So I did do my research, and he got 31 goals in that season across all competitions.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're wrong.
Lighten up.
Yes. I don't see you get taken issue with people enough, Jim. And when you do it, I have to say it's always delicious.
Yeah, yeah. I get a little bit of excitement.
Yeah,
and
good.
That sentence went in a different way.
They got relegated, of course, that season, and Ravenelli played a grand total of 2 games in the second tier and went, well, I'm fucking off.
Yeah. I'm amazed it took him that long.
Straight to Marseille. In many ways,
He scored 100 goals, Connor.
Yeah. I like to think that the 2 goals he took, the 2 games he played in the second tier from Middlesbrough in 97-98 were away games on the way down to Marseille. Yeah, I'll pop in on the way down.
Yeah.
The Anglo-Italian Cup.
Yeah.
We've got a cold sore update as well.
Oh, okay.
Hi guys, love the show, especially the non-football related stuff. Been a lot of that today. Mm. Anyway, after telling my girlfriend every winter that people with cold sores don't seem to ever get cancer, she eventually snapped at me to find a gold standard peer-reviewed scientific paper that proves that to be true. Well, guess what? I did. Not only is there a correlation, but it was first observed way back in the 70s. The herpes simplex virus, cold sores, is now being used in both the US and EU as part of an immunotherapy treatment for cervical cancer. So you may well look bad when you get one, but at least if you spread it about, you can say you were saving lives. And that stuff about adults never catching them is rubbish. I was 21, and it's the only thing I've still got from my first marriage. That's from Ian in Cyprus, who sounds like a complicated fellow.
Give us a smooch, Jim.
Yeah. Well, just to round it off.
Just before you do round it off, none of that should be construed as official medical advice.
Indeed. I haven't checked the paper.
I'm also none of us are medical professionals.
HPV does give you a higher risk of cancer. I'm fairly certain.
I have no
that's
idea.
That's cancer.
Absolutely no idea.
Misinformation.
We're not doctors.
No.
Simon from Cardiff, though, says, as a fully qualified qualified doctor, I can confirm that contracting herpes is age irrelevant. So just a warning to Jim not to snog any men with cold sores on tour. So Jim Lawrence, you are fake news.
Yeah.
So you might have to make some phone calls, mate.
And Jim, you're probably going to snog as many listeners as possible.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, Pete's not going to get through all of them, is he?
No,
no, exactly. Wear a mouth condom.
You two are the heartthrobs of the football ramble. Good stuff.
Right, so we go straight into a bit of Fulham versus Everton. Babel and Kearney with the goals there. And one shot on target, Jim.
Yeah.
Against the most porous defence in the league, which is Fulham.
Really annoying from an Arsenal point of view, having lost to them last week.
Completely dreadful. They're going to be staying ninth, missing out on climbing over Watford and Wolves. They could have got a little bit of ground up the finishing position bonus a little bit. I just can't understand what's happening with Everton here.
As Leicester. They're just not motivated. I just think
Marco Silva can't set his team up against big teams.
Bingo!
There we go. I was really disappointed in them because just get the ball and shoot. Yeah. Every time you get the ball, shoot.
Yeah.
Because they got the worst goal, in my opinion, the worst goalkeeper in the league.
Yeah. Is it like when there's an outfield player in goal? Is it that bad?
Just have a crack.
Just have a crack.
I don't
want
to be disrespectful to Mr. Rico.
But yeah, late for that,
at least
it?
Try it. Yeah. Try it, you know.
One shot on target, that's not good enough against an already relegated
team. Who were having a lovely time. Fair play to Fulham's fans as well. They were excellent.
Aaron Babel was tearing it up.
He was
at one point.
Is it fair to say he's probably one of been one of their better signings.
Is it fair to say that he was exactly what they needed in January when they were on course to get the worst defensive season in Premier League history? Yeah. Ryan Babel is the answer.
Yeah, Ryan Babel. A move though, won't he? Yeah. Maybe Everton's a sort of profile of club he's looking at, so he really turned it on.
I thought he might only be... is he only there temporarily anyway?
Right. Yeah, I think he only signed to the end of the season.
He's 32, isn't he? But he can absolutely do a job for a decent team in the Premier League based on what we've seen of him, I think.
Yeah, well... I don't know. Jose was spotted in the crowd as well.
Yeah, that's a weird one, isn't it?
He is a man now whose every move is interpreted as a political statement of some kind. Like, so you couldn't move online for articles about him, not only him being there, which I suppose it is news because he obviously was managing the biggest club in the country up until recently and people here are obsessed with him. But just him attending a football game in West London where he's presumably got a house, and given that Chelsea were away from home that weekend, it's not the biggest news in the world. And I don't know if anything should be read into it or interpreted from it.
Can he go and watch Chelsea play? Has he done that since he's quit?
I think he can, but they were in Liverpool, weren't they, anyway? And also, by the way, something that wasn't mentioned in the newspaper stories I saw about it, it's probably the best place in the country to go and watch a game. Yeah. It's beautiful down there. Nice walk along the river.
I was in Manchester. What was the weather like?
Lovely.
On Saturday.
Yeah, nice. Okay, it was nice, yeah. Yeah.
It's a beautiful place.
I think
to watch
it was nice, wasn't it? Or was it rain? I can't remember. It's definitely nice. It was nice on Sunday. I can give you that.
Yeah.
I can't get closer than that.
We appreciate that. Scotty Parker's first win as manager. He's going to have an all right time in the Championship with all these players that they may not be able to get rid of.
I think they've all got clauses. Yeah. I think, as I said earlier in the season, they're playing. Certainly playing a few months ago, they've got clauses. Put it that way. So who knows?
Here, mate.
Is there talk that Scott Parker will maintain his job there? Doing like a Darren Moore kind of scenario?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's been such a disaster, isn't it? It's very difficult to blame Parker for the form not sort of turning around after Ranieri. And the sort of mess that the squad.
Well, he's the third manager of the season. If you're the third manager of the season and you manage to turn it around, well done you. But I mean, it's not an easy job, is it?
I think they'll consider him, won't they? But given that it's his first role, and that they'll presumably be wanting a promotion push to try and come straight back up, especially given the money they've spent.
But you know,
would they take that risk? Do you think,
Jim? You know who are favourites for the Championship at the start of this season? Stoke City.
Oh.
And they've gone nowhere near it. They've had a disastrous season. Mm. And it can go like that very, very easily in the Championship because it's, as we always say, it's so competitive. It's competitive enough as it is. And then you chuck Fulham, Huddersfield, and other into the mix. My goodness me, it's going to be difficult. And Stoke have come nowhere near it. Stoke are 16th now. Yeah, and they were hot favourites to win the Championship. So it's never going to be as easy as that. But maybe they want to keep a bit of consistency throughout. I don't know. I don't know if he was ever appointed as anything other than sort of have a go at this because it's gone to complete shit.
I think they will have to cut their cloth accordingly. Let's make that very clear. I don't know how much money they're going to make going down, but...
The owner tried to buy Wembley a while back.
Mm.
He's got pots of it, mate.
Bunts.
Pots of it. Bunts.
One player with a link to both Fulham and Jose Mourinho did do a little tidbit, which should have gone in the WhatsApp group, but I'm putting it here anyway. Mark Schwartz revealed that one of Jose's last instructions before the Liverpool-Chelsea match back in 2013 was, lads, I want at least two bookings for time wasting before half time, which I think is very enjoyable. Before half time,
was that taken from the Miguel Delaney piece about the about the game? Because that was a really good article.
Yeah.
I think that rings a bell. It's funny that.
I just like the way that
Schwartz played in that game. I think he was about 42 at the time.
Yes,
you know who else played in that game? Mo Salah for Chelsea.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Did nothing and got subbed off.
Well, you know, he's gone on to better things.
Things do change.
On to Manchester United, West Ham. Fairly underwhelming performance from Man United, but they are now 2 points off Chelsea in fourth. I could see them changing places quite easily, quite frankly, because Chelsea are looking pretty awful. Would VAR have changed the outcome in this match? Obviously, two penalties for Pogba. West Ham, not particularly happy about the situation.
I thought West Ham could consider themselves very hard done by, and I thought Man United were underwhelming, and... they had some good decisions. I think the first penalty was a 50-50.
Yeah.
And I thought obviously the West Ham goal before that shouldn't have been ruled out.
Mm.
And it could have been a different game, but it wasn't. And Man United are a good team, and so they managed to close it out and good on them. But I was underwhelmed by them. I don't know about you, Jim.
Yeah, I mean, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer has been saying that he feels like they're maybe not fit enough for his style because he likes to be quite intense and that is now starting to show, which is bad news. Given the running they've got now and what they need to do to get over the line,
Pete, do you think United will get up there? Do you?
Chelsea are just on such a p- poor run at the moment. They just look really, really ordinary at times, and I don't think teams that are in the top four should be looking that ordinary.
Well, Chelsea are okay. I mean, they've won the last three Premier League games before the Liverpool game.
Yeah.
And they've got a chance in the Europa League, well, more than a chance, really. You'd fancy them to get through to the semi-finals. I differ from you because I just don't trust Solskjaer. I don't think it's... I know I've said this a lot, and it's probably annoying Man United fans by now. That's, you know, tough titty. I just don't think Solskjaer's a very good appointment, personally. And they've now lost four of their last six. Of course, they just didn't look that good against West Ham, and they didn't look that good in the game they won in those six. The other game they won, that sixth run, which was against Watford. I've just not been that impressed with them.
Apparently, Solskjaer's willing to hand the captaincy to Paul Pogba to keep him sweet and not move on. But
there's been a lot of confusing noise about that as well, because Guillaume Balague came out and said that there's absolutely no issue between them and it's all just, you know, Real Madrid mischief making.
Right.
But it does seem surprising to me, the idea that Pogba would already have fallen out with him.
No, Pogba would have been a complete sausage to Jose Mourinho.
Mm.
I've heard decent sources about that, about him openly disrespecting Mourinho in front of the rest of the squad at training.
Yeah.
But I've not heard that he's been doing that to Solskjaer. Mm. And I'd be hugely surprised if he wants to move on. But on the Solskjaer, on the United point, they could feasibly lose their next four games, you know. I mean, they could. They got Barcelona away, which I think we'd all agree they're going to be underdogs.
They're up against it.
They've got Everton away. Okay, well, you never know what kind of Everton you're going to get. They've got Man City after that, and they've got Chelsea after that.
Well, that Man City game is a big carrot, though, isn't it?
Could you not kind of like they've got the chance of really putting Man City in shit?
Although at the same time, though, that might hand Liverpool the league. That is such a
exactly. I forget about them.
I'm not saying they will lose the next four games. I'm saying they're four quite hard games.
Mm. I think they've got a chance against Everton at the very least.
Yeah, well, we can agree on that.
Yeah, spotted in the dugout, Luke and Jim, a black Love Store, large size, grade 3 silicon gel dildo was spotted. Mm.
Is this great model? The Dildo Brothers?
Great model.
Embracing product placement.
I don't know.
You embrace the detail there, Jim. Pete, carry on with your research.
It's non-toxic. It's tasteless. It's easy to clean. It's got everything. Big black dildo. It's fantastic.
Is it the Ferrari of the dildo?
It's the
industry.
Ferrari of the dildo industry.
What was it doing there, Pete?
Say again.
What was it doing there?
Having a sleep.
Just there, wasn't it?
Which dugout?
I think it was behind or in front of the.
It looked
Man
like it was
dugout.
In a little pathway between the pitch and the crowd next to the dugout, from what I saw.
Well, maybe it was just a gift from Golden Sullivan.
Well, if
they
do
it every game and we've just never seen it before.
If you want it back, I believe it's been handed into Lost Property. So,
has it really?
I don't know.
Wow. Yeah. Imagine picking up.
When I heard about the Dildo Brothers, I never for one second imagined they shared a dildo.
Oh, what do you think? They're
one each. They're in the game themselves. We one each. Should be able to easily get discounts.
Two each. One for in and one for in your bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For backup.
Backup.
Yeah.
Right, we'll be talking about the 72, the other leagues, after this short ad break. They're going down to watch the Football Ramble Live. Football Ramble Live. RambleLive.com is how you can get tickets. We've had an extra show.
Are we going to run adverts for our live shows every single show between now and September?
Yes, we are.
Until they're sold out. Until they're sold out. Maybe more.
God damn it.
Are we that nervous about our ticket sales?
Until we're playing Wembley.
Yeah. Oh, they're all sold out now, by the way, so don't come.
They're not sold out. RambleLive.com. Get involved. We want to see the whites of your eyes.
We've added another date, as Pete's alluded to there, at Alexandra Palace in London towards the end of September. So go to RambleLive.com for further information to get your tickets, because they're selling fast.
Yes. The previous show will be in your ears on Thursday as well. How did our best better get on, Luke Moore?
Well, you remember Paul, who luckily for him only submitted his first name.
Right.
Because he has delivered... I think, unless you guys are going to correct me, the most shocking best bet in history. And this from a man who started his email about how good he is at picking winners.
Right.
Then backed Brighton to beat Bournemouth, a game they lost 5-0 at home.
They did have a sending off.
And speaking of exocets, the Anthony Knockhart exocet.
Oh,
he flew
naughty.
From off camera.
Yeah.
Like 100 miles an hour. And everyone instantly was like, that's a red.
It's a sort of, even as a home fan, you go, oh, that's a shame.
In an era where we like to have, and we're as much a part of this as anyone else, we like to have conversations, opinions, controversies about every incident. There's not one scintilla of controversy about that red card.
Not one quantum.
He is firmly in the Huckabee zone, And look at what happens when he tries to fight his way out of it.
Yeah.
But listen, show up to footballramble.com for a new best better.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, guys, it's a very, very desirable hot seat now because it can't get any worse than it got last week.
No.
So you're going to be in there at rock bottom. You're almost a bit a fire. You're almost like a Big Sam coming in.
Right, okay.
Firefighting kind of job.
Steady the ship a little
so
bit.
So put best bet in the subject line and email in to show@thefootballramble.com.
Yes, so in the Championship, Ipswich are the first team to be relegated in the entire Football League, the English Football League this season, after a 1-1 draw with Birmingham City. 17 years in the second tier.
Mm.
That's sad to see, isn't it? Especially because Norwich are doing so well.
Yeah.
Twitter was populated with... and listen, Ipswich are a big club, a great club, and I'm very sorry for their plight, and I hope they bounce back. But Twitter was awash with Ipswich fans insisting through the tears. You might even go as far as to say they doth protest too much,
right,
about how they still didn't want to stick with Mick McCarthy, and it was at least we didn't play terrible football. I mean, all right. I'll leave that out there. Present that without comment.
You can play great football in League One next season.
As Pompey, I'm not doing... Actually, Pompey, I'm not doing that at the moment. Jim, what were you going to say?
I was going to say basically that. I was going to say okay, it's worse the effect of... what I was going to suggest, he doesn't seem like such a bad idea now, does he? But apparently he still does.
Yeah.
So
what about Paul Lambert and his future? It's just
sad.
It's just relentlessly depressing. I mean, it's hard to know where he goes next, whether he stays there or not.
Mm.
Ipswich clearly have got issues around funding and they've been mismanaged and all the rest of it. They've won 4 games this season. It's nowhere near good enough, of course.
Paul Lambert could give Dortmund a ring, see if they need a hand again.
I wonder how long it's going to be till this reputation he's not starting to manufacture himself reaches.
He's still young.
Reaches
49.
Dortmund.
He's 49. Yeah.
Is that young?
I don't even know anymore, to be honest. Footballers are getting younger.
Do you remember that media went through that phase of calling Alan Pardew an exciting young manager when he was about 52?
Mm. It's because he got white hair when he was about... He just did too much bleach in the 90s and he just got instant white hair.
He was only a couple of years younger than Manuel Pellegrini, wasn't he, when he called him that slur?
Yeah,
that slur.
Pardew's 57 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't really act like a 57-year-old.
No, not in the Grouch show on a Friday. do you remember when Paul Lambert scored that amazing goal for Blackburn Rovers? He was playing for like their B team or
You're
something.
Testing
he
me
fancied
now.
He fancied going and he their chipped reserves. The keeper from about 35 yards. Oh, it was brilliant.
That wasn't
I remember
really
seeing that
game.
Sky. No.
That wasn't
I'm
really
just saying
game
he needs to get on the pitch. That's all I'm saying.
So is that what they did? They just they sympathised with him by showing a goal he scored for the reserves.
No, that's what always plays. Whenever I hear Paul Lambert in my head, that's what I plays in my head. Him scoring that amazing goal.
This is a man whose Wikipedia page and his career statistics. It's the first time I've ever seen this, and it must be because they're unclear about the stats. But in his appearances and goal scoring in Scotland. He's got, like, instead of, say, 32 appearances, 3 goals, he's got 32 plus, 3 plus. Like, it could be more, but we're not sure. So he's officially listed 686 plus appearances and 41 plus goals.
Has he submitted reserve appearances? Like, we just need to check this is all right.
Yeah. a bit of the old Romario going on there.
A game's a game. A game is a game. Norwich extend their lead at the top of the Championship after grinding out a fairly turgid 1-1 at Wigan. Vital wins for Derby, Borough and Villa too. It's all happening at the top, isn't it? Once again, the Championship has shown us the way.
I couldn't stick the Norwich-Wigan game because it's... Watching Wigan games at Wigan is just awful. There's no fans there. To the point of where they've now blocked off the front 5 or 6 rows and they've just put permanent adverts there instead.
Mm.
Wow.
Because they're not going to sell any tickets.
Yeah.
And it's hard to watch football in that kind of environment. And that's why I think it gives you a reminder of the power that fans have. There's no way if Premier League fans stayed away because they're unhappy about something, it would be anywhere near as marketable as it is.
Mm.
Because it's try watching a Wigan game. No disrespect to Wigan. I'm sure the fans who do support the club are great. And you know, they've had their day in the sun and all the rest of it, and I'm sure they will again. But it's nowhere near the same product when you're watching it with no fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
It looks like a reserve game.
Oh, yeah, it's really nice. Yeah. And everything just seems like it just echoes. When you can hear the ball being kicked, it's like,
Saido! Saido!
Joey Barton's car was stopped in the car park by police after an alleged assault after they were well beaten by Barnsley. He's in a bit of trouble. But it was a fascinating kind of like the police woman like ran in front of his car and kind of stopped it with her hands, which is really exciting.
Did she?
Yeah,
it was really exciting.
It was real kind of like APB stuff.
Why do people always
stopped it while it was driving?
Yeah, it looked like
a very strong policewoman.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Why do people always want to solve any conflict with a fight? As a pacifist, I find it incredible. Hashtag the mind boggles. Joey Barton, 23rd December 2011.
Yeah.
8 years ago, to be fair.
Doesn't,
but
doesn't use his fist. He uses a cigar, usually, to stop fights.
Is
it a cigar?
Is it, yeah, is that legal to say that or not?
What do you mean? Didn't he put out a cigar in someone's face? Yeah,
there was talking about
players' eye, I believe.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm. Good.
I don't think cigar was involved this time, though.
Both clubs have sort of muddied the water a lot, haven't they? They've both been very sort of quiet about what's actually happened.
Was it mud or was it blood in the water?
It might have been a cigar.
I just don't know. In the Scottish Cup, Celtic beating nine-man Aberdeen in the Scottish Cup. And, two players sent off for the Dundee Dons. Ryan Christie, did you see the head-to-cheek interaction?
I did, through fingers.
It was disgusting.
I don't know. I've only seen it a couple of times, quite grainy footage on the laptop.
Mm.
And do you think it wasn't intentional, was it?
It was massively intentional. He didn't take one look at the ball.
He only got a yellow for it.
Yeah, well, he got a second yellow. Yeah, I'm not in charge of the referees.
It's funny you say that, because I don't know if even Neil Lennon thought that.
Look at it. And Lennon knows a headbutt.
Why?
But like Ryan Christie's eye on the ball, the player who's in the dock on this particular situation, his head went straight into the player.
Okay, fair enough. It looked
premeditated to me.
I've not seen it close enough, so I'll have to defer.
Never mind. So we'll head on over to WhatsApp Boulevard, if that's all right with you.
Yeah. Right. We've got a little jingle for that, Pete.
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
We're in the WhatsApp group. These are the sort of like naughty little stories that get shoveled around our respective smartphones.
This is very much the clean version of it, although, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Less graphic drawings by me.
Because we all know that the majority of the WhatsApp group is taken up by cameraman Sam sharing food that he's eating.
Yes.
You sharing unspeakable things, Pete Donaldson.
How very rude. I like to help you kind of give you a bit of, like not grist from the mill, but I like to kind of like give you horrible things so that when you go out in the world, you're kind of...
But you also, I've actually heard that you're very interested in the human condition.
I am. Mostly foreheads. But Pete also, is getting annoyed with us sharing memes that aren't current enough.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
if you want to see a human being turn into Incredible Hulk, share with Pete Charlie bit my finger and he
please
goes
don't.
Mad.
Please
goes
don't, because we know mad. what my Twitter's going to be like for the next week.
What's your cutoff in terms of memes? How old can they be?
6 months. But then I'll share something and you'll go, that's really old. And I go, I knew that.
Yeah, it happens.
Did
it?
You see that Leeds United fan who'd absolutely destroyed his ankle.
Yeah. How did they actually? I know he was celebrating a goal, but how did they actually get such a bad injury?
I don't know. It must have been a stair based incident. But his leg looked like a spaghetti junction.
No, yeah,
he was smiling though. He'd had a lovely time.
He's on gassing.
That sounds awful.
He was in the stand still. Did you see the River Plate fan who got a QR code tattooed on his leg? Basically, when you scan it with your mobile phone, it takes you to the highlights of the Copa Libertadores final on YouTube.
That is brilliant, isn't it? I mean, has he uploaded it himself?
That's
though?
What I
if
mean.
It comes down,
straight away, I'm thinking copyright claim.
Copyright claim.
I'm amazed.
People are going to be copyright claiming it and he's going to be massively mugged off.
I am amazed that works, though.
Can it be adjusted? Can you latterly put a YouTube video and attach it to an old QR code? In which case, he could just upload it himself. And
no, because it will be specifically tied to that URL, I suppose. So
that's
it would
a
be
mugs
that exact,
game.
You know, you would have
He's
to.
He's not thought that through.
You would have to be there at the point that video gets deleted, and I presume YouTube would reassign that number to something else. So you'd have this weird situation.
I don't really know too much about QR codes, but how accurate would the tattooist have to be to do that effectively?
Not as accurate as you would probably expect.
Right,
as long as the blocks are roughly in the right place.
It's like a barcode, basically.
Yeah, because I think they're designed so you can print them on quite low resolution devices, and they're all squares and stuff. So they've done a lovely bit of work and it completely works, but he's at risk of a copyright claim, whether he's uploaded it or not, quite frankly.
Exactly.
Risky.
Unless he's done a deal with the league themselves, and it's come. No, you might have done a deal with
the team itself,
Libertadores themselves, and it might be some sort of guerrilla marketing campaign.
Yeah, oh yeah, maybe, possibly.
No, this is nothing. Nothing. I'm still cynical about everything. These
South America, all bets are off.
Yeah.
Also, this is something you sent to the WhatsApp group, Luke. Portsmouth didn't know what year they got to the semi-final of the FA Cup on their own Instagram.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason you know this is not a typo is because they said it was 2011, and it was actually 2010, and obviously the 0 and the 1 are miles away from each other on the keyboard, so it was a blatant error. And I just want to see Portsmouth shore up their excellent team's performance on the pitch with some top quality admin off the pitch. We've seen it happen with Barcelona.
Yeah.
They won every trophy they could get their hands on for a while. And then all of a sudden, all their players are being indicted for tax avoidance. The admin was lacking. I don't want Portsmouth to go on the same road off the pitch. We've picked up a trophy this season.
Yeah.
Let's get the social media right. Let's get the admin right.
Well, you have picked up a trophy and you're looking pretty good. Looking
six
pretty good
wins in a row now. Eight of the last nine. 27th of April, we play Sunderland away in the league.
Yeah,
and
if
we win that, I'm going to stick my balls out of the bath here. If we win that, I think we'll get promoted.
Sorry, you were off mic saying that they're going to get promoted.
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, okay.
If they beat
Sunderland.
I'm re-upping that same opinion. No, my opinion's never changed.
You've reconditioned it.
I'm sometimes wrong, sometimes right, always certain.
You've rebadged it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. This has been the Football Ramble of a Monday. We'll be back on Thursday for the 365 preview show, which will be very, very exciting.
Son's Marcus, or is he back on Thursday?
I think he might be back. Thank heavens. So
he's not back on Monday?
No, I think he's back for Thursday.
Right,
so
right,
we'll enjoy Marcus and endure me.
You make himself available for selection and we'll pick who we pick.
It will definitely be Marcus.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll be back on Thursday. Have a cracking week. Enjoy the Champions League action.
Oh, yeah.
Good luck to Arsenal tonight.
Yeah.
Manchester United on Tuesday and the rest of the teams. Yeah.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around the duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.